Thank you, Dave and musicians. They did that last song on my request tonight. Been a good day today. Praise the Lord for our journey class, treating Vicki and I and Dave and Allison to a wonderful luncheon along with their other members of the class. And this morning we had 104 in Sunday school with 12 visitors. That's something to be very proud of. Got a little ringing going away. Before we get started tonight, I always like to start off the message with a little bit of levity. These are some church nevers that you should never do in the church. Times have changed through the years, too. Number 6, never ask an usher to break a $20 bill. It used to be never ask the usher to break a dollar bill, but they've changed it a little through the years. Never do a cannonball in the baptismal tank. I like this one. Never hold a church business meeting on Super Bowl Sunday. Never tell the pastor, we love your church and we might even come back next Easter. And during youth group activities, never bungee jump off the church steeple or play chicken with the church buses. And then the first and foremost that you should never do is after a soloist of impressive size sings, "Love Lifted Me." Got a ring. "Love Lifted Me." Don't follow with the hymn, "It Took a Miracle." I can relate to that. Read you a little story before we get started in that. If you might No, tonight we're going to be talking about the touch of the Master's hand. There was a couple who took a trip to England to shop in a beautiful antique store to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary. They both liked antiques and pottery, and especially teacups. Spotting an exceptional cup, they asked, "May we see that? We've never seen a cup quite so beautiful." As the lady handed it to them, suddenly the teacup spoke, "You don't understand. I have not always been a teacup. There was a time when I was just a lump of red clay. My master took me and rolled me and pounded me and patted me over and over. And I yelled out, 'Don't do that. I don't like it. Leave me alone.' But he only smiled and gently said, 'Not yet.' Then wham, I was placed on a spinning wheel and suddenly I was spun around and around and around. 'Stop it, I'm getting so dizzy, I'm going to be sick,' I screamed, but the master only nodded and said quietly, 'Not yet.' He spun me and poked and prodded and bent me out of shape to suit himself, and then he put me in the oven. I never felt such heat. I yelled and knocked and pounded at the door, 'Help, get me out of here.' I could see him through the opening, and I could read his lips as he shook his head from side to side, 'Not yet.' When I thought I couldn't bear it in another minute, the door opened. He carefully took me out and put me on the shelf, and I began to cool. Oh, that felt so good. 'Ah, this is much better,' I thought. But after I cooled, he picked me up, and he brushed and painted me all over. The fumes were horrible. I thought I would gag. 'Oh, please stop it. Stop,' I cried. He only shook his head and said, 'Not yet.' Then suddenly he put me back in the oven, only it was not like the first time. This was twice as hot, and I just knew I would suffocate. I begged, I pleaded, I screamed, I cried. I was convinced I would never make it. I was ready to give up. Just then the door opened, and he took me out and again placed me on the shelf, where I cooled and waited, wondering, what's he going to do to me next? An hour later, he handed me a mirror and said, 'Look at yourself.' And I did. I said, 'That's not me. That couldn't be me. It's beautiful. I'm beautiful.' Quietly, he spoke. 'I want you to remember then,' he said. 'I know it hurt to be rolled and pounded and patted, but had I just left you alone, you'd have dried up. I know it made you dizzy to spin around on the wheel, but if I had stopped, you would have crumbled. I know it hurt and was hot and disagreeable in the oven. But if I hadn't put you there, you would have cracked. I know the fumes were bad when I brushed and painted you all over. But if I hadn't have done that, you would never have hardened. You would not have had any color in your life. If I had put you back in that second oven, you wouldn't have survived for long because the hardness would not have held. Now you're a finished product. Now you're what I had in mind when I first began with you. The moral of this story is this. God knows what he's doing for each of us. He is the potter, and we are his clay. He will mold us and make us and expose us to just enough pressures of just the right kinds that we may be made into a flawless piece of work to fulfill his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when life seems hard and you're being pounded and patted and pushed almost beyond endurance, when your world seems to be spinning out of control, when you feel like you're in a fiery furnace of trials, when life seems to stink, try this. Brew a cup of your favorite tea in your prettiest teacup. Sit down and think on this story, and then have a little talk with the potter. Beautiful little story. And needless to say, we're going to talk about this potter tonight. If you got your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. This is a touch of the Master's hand. Leading with me in verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Let's pray this afternoon. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We pray that you'll take your word, use it in our lives, Father, that we might be a better testimony for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, a touch of the Master's hand. Calamities come to each and every one of us in our lives. Things that we cannot understand. Things that we don't like. It might be a horrible sickness we have to live with. Or maybe even the doctor, gives you notice of a terminal illness. It could be financial hardships that we have to go through and endure. We lose loved ones to death or what have you, we lose our jobs, we might have to start over in life many times. I know I personally have many times. It is natural to ask God, why? Remember this, we are clay in the potter's hands, and he is constantly working with us. God does not make mistakes. We still have a ring, Brother Les, if you... We still have a ring with the... Clay in the Master's hand. God does not make mistakes. One day we will be the finished product of the Master's hand. One of the greatest sermons I ever had the opportunity to hear was in the first church I was an associate at Bethel Baptist Church, and we had a minister come by, and he was an evangelist, and all he did was go across the nation from church to church presenting the potter's hands. He had the old-fashioned potter's wheel. He set it up in the church, and he'd sit there and make a pottery while he preached his message that day. It was a beautiful, beautiful story. We are the clay in the potter's hands, and we need to realize that. It's exactly what the example that God gave us in Jeremiah. Making a vessel would be proud of the result. You know, we all start out as just a lump of clay. I visited Marshall, Texas, and I actually got to sit there and watch them make a pottery. Started out as a lump of clay, and this master begins to shape and mold it the way he wants it to be. He wants it to be just so. But sometimes accidents happen. Any of y'all have ever seen a potter in work? Sometimes he's working on it, shaping it, and all of a sudden it just kind of flops over to its side. And what does he have to do? Mash it all down and start over again. Doesn't mean he's going to throw the clay away just because it didn't form the first time like he wanted it. It's a continuous process. Accidents do happen, and the potter does have to start over. The clay has impurities in it that causes it to be marred in the production. Just like us, in our lives, we have impurities that keeps us from being what God wants us to be many, many times. But the potter does not throw the clay away. He just starts over to remold it again. In our lives, we may go through periods of time where we have to start over many times as God works on us, molding us into what He wants us to be. Once shaped the way the master wanted, the vessel is placed in the fire. And once it's hardened, the potter beautifies the vessel as he desires. Then this beautiful vessel is then refired again into the kettle to its final condition. As in our story today, a beautiful little teacup, a bowl, a mug, whatever the situation is. The clay is now a vessel of honor to be used however you wish to use it. As a potter works with the clay, we too are clay in the master's hands. We are not created perfect. I'm sorry to tell you that. I know some of you may be hurt by that statement, but we are not perfect. He has to mold and make us to be what He wants us to be. Someday we will be what He wants us to be. We will be in a glorified body in the presence of the Master. But our life is a work in progress. He's still working on me. How many of y'all know that little children's song? He's still working on me. Come on, everybody. No, not really. But that's the truth. That's what that little nursery song says. He's still working on me because we're not the finished product. I wasn't when I was born. I wasn't when I was 12 years old. And I was not when I was, although I thought I was when I was a senior in high school, but I was not. And I'm 64 now, and I'm still, He's still working on me. He can still get me to that point He wants me to be. I'll be there someday. You'll see at the end, I'll be dead and gone. Calamities and hardships in our lives are for a purpose. The earthly clay is marred. The master has to remold it, the clay, the way he wants it. God never stops working in our lives. We see this all the time in people that have tragic accidents. For instance, some of our soldiers from wartime that come back maimed and hurt. But do they call it quits? Do they just sit on the shelf for the rest of their life? No. Most of them overcome their disabilities. They you know, if they've had their legs blown off, they get artificial limbs to walk with. They pick up new careers. In our personal lives, that even, you know, not military or anything, we all go through changes. I said, you know, earlier there that I probably started over 4 or 5 times in my life where I got to the point where, you know, got to sell, got to go, we got to do something to keep things going. And God's always been with us at every time. So God never stops working in our lives as we go from day to day and year to year and month to month. We will go through the fire in this life. We'll have our trials. We'll have dangers we have to live through. And as we go along in life and our country and our world becomes more of a liberal place to live, we are going to be subjected to more and more persecutions as we already are, but they will become worse. But you know what? Through it all, we need to realize and need to really understand that God is in control. This is a fact we sometimes get discouraged and don't really realize the fact that everything is working to God's plan, just exactly the way He wants it. And I'm real proud of myself. This is before the movie come out, but I made a note here in my sermon that said, "Be of good courage. God is not dead." And God is not dead. He is still active and on the throne. We will have our hardships in life. That's going to happen. As a Christian, we don't have some kind of special protection over us. It keeps us from having hardships. We're going to lose some battles along the way. It can't be helped. But we're going to get beat up some. And in the end times, we're going to see Christians that are martyred for the Word of God. But remember, we win the war. We will be victorious. The Master never stops molding and shaping us in this life. It's a continuous process, and God will never leave us or forsake us. We have that promise from Him. 2 Corinthians 15:55, one of the sweet scriptures I love, says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus died for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave. Remember what David preached about two weeks ago. Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And one day, soon, I believe, God will say, Son, go get your children. That time will come. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the skies. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, our Master, the potter of our life. That is when we will be the finished, perfect vessel of the Master's hand. When we are raptured up and with the King in glory. We have had a long service, or y'all wouldn't have got nothing tonight. All right. I appreciate y'all coming. This is such a wonderful church. Not most, but a lot of churches, when the pastor is gone, that's everybody's opportunity to go play. But y'all are faithful, and I appreciate you so much. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer tonight. Remember, if you need anything during the week, feel free to call us. Do what we can for you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all your blessings that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for being the potter that's molding our lives to be what we should be. And dear Lord, thank you for the trials we go through. It's hard to thank you for things like that, but we know it's for a purpose, that you're only making us a more pure, a more seasoned, a more mature Christian. Lord, thank you again for dying on that cross for our sins. Because someday we will be with you in glory and be what you intended us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.